Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Morning Yankee Show. It is Wednesday, May 6th, 2026. Hope everybody is doing well as we're halfway through the week, chat. And of course, we're also going to be live tonight for Game 2, Yankees versus Rangers in the Bronx. And chat, you know what? I think last night, we talked about this in the watch party a little bit, but I think last night may have been not necessarily the best one of the season, although if you were to argue that, I'm not going to, you know, go against you. But at the very least, I think it's up there for one of the most satisfying wins of the season. And funny enough, the last time we faced DeGrom last week is up there as well. We'll get to all the details of everything, but Yankees, they win their fifth straight. They are now 25-11, which the Tampa Bay Rays also won as well, so they remain a game and a half back in the American League East. Was holding out hope that the Atlanta Braves would lose a game last night. They did not do that, but if they had, you know, we would have had the best record in baseball. But for now, we settle for the best record in the American League, chat. And that remains the case, has been the case, and obviously things are going pretty well right now. So, happy Wednesday. Good morning to everybody watching live in the chat. Of course, we're also available on Spotify, all the podcast apps, and, you know, maybe you're watching on replay later on YouTube. So, hope you're all doing well. Let's get right into it, though. And we're specifically going to be talking about, at least to kick things off here, the Yankees' performance against Jacob DeGrom last night. And, yo, it's very rare to be worried about a Yankee starting pitcher going into a game these days. We know how terrific the rotation has been. Well, with Elmer Rodriguez coming off his start last time out against the Rangers, where he wasn't terrible in his first outing, in his debut, did not look great, walked, you know, four batters, ended up giving two runs in four innings against Texas in Arlington in the first start. Going into yesterday, it's like, we'll see what he's got today. You know, the Yankees going up against Jacob DeGrom. Well, the first inning for Elmer Rodriguez was obviously absolutely brutal, possibly like the most torturous inning that we've seen half inning Yankee baseball so far this year. Walk in the world, couple of hits, hit by pitch. The Yankees go down 3-0 in the top of the first before DeGrom even throws a pitch. And first thoughts are like frustration about Elmer. And we'll talk more about him in just a little bit. But I will say there is, you know, whether it's just with the amount of wins that we've stacked so far this year, which I'm not trying to bank on that. It wouldn't have been a thing where I'm like excited to lose yesterday, but you go down 3-0, now just like this could be a game that the Yankees end up losing. But I'm not going to lie, there was part of me, you know, once they went down 3-0 and the inning was over, I was kind of like, let's see what they got. And against DeGrom, right away in the first, they got on the board. Judge doubles with one out, and then Bellinger after him for like the third time. I thought it was the second time, but John Boy posted a video on Twitter. This is really the third time in the last week Bellinger has come as close as you could possibly come to going deep and not going deep. It's the very top of the wall. Anyways, Yanks right away strike against DeGrom in the first, and that's very important. You know, in past years, whether it be with this Yankees team or other baseball teams, you go down 3-0 early, and then, you know, come the bottom half, you go down quickly, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, here we go on cruise control to one of it being a loss. Well, getting on the board right away was significant. Bellinger with that double, he's been red hot lately. We'll touch more on him in just a little bit. But, you know, again, the Yankees faced DeGrom last week, and I also think that start in Arlington, or that game in Arlington, was one of the more satisfying wins this season in a different way. The Yankees, and we're going to keep talking about here the big story of the day, the man that's on the thumbnail, because Ryan McMahon's been raking, more on him in a second. But, you know, last week in Arlington, the Yankees, in a different way of doing it, but it was a very satisfying win in Arlington because, you know, DeGrom, we didn't hit against him. He only gave up one run, but the Yankees worked good at bats, and, you know, we're hitting the ball hard. That's some pretty tough luck. In the meantime, Cam outdueled DeGrom last week in Texas. All the while, you had the one run scored against DeGrom, and then the Yankees got DeGrom out after six, and then would later tack on some runs against their bullpen. So that was a very satisfying win last week. Well, here this week, you get on the board right away, and it's like, all right, I believe the Yankees can chip away against DeGrom and the Rangers bullpen, which is a pretty damn good bullpen. More so the question is, you know, is Elmer Rodriguez going to be able to keep us in the game? And he certainly did do that. Anyways, though, the big story is from yesterday's Ryan McMahon. And with that, he came up in the second inning and did this.
High fly ball, deep right field, McCutcheon back, track, wall, see ya! A two-run home run for McMahon. He's starting to come around as the Yankees have tied the game at three.
Two-run shot to tie the game at three in the third, third home run of the year for McMahon. And obviously that was hype in-game, but we were live in the watch party, obviously, and the second that happened, this then became a talking point, which is that Ryan McMahon is hitting lately. Ryan McMahon in his last 17 games is 14 for 46, which is a 304 average with an 877 OPS. And we have been talking about the at-bats looking much better over the last couple weeks, and he's been getting some results. Now he's getting results with power. He had some very impressive doubles against Baltimore this past weekend where, you know, the ball just off his bat, he hits it to the opposite field. It looks like a casual fly ball. It's going to be a can of corn and ends up carrying to the wall. He's been hitting the ball to the opposite field. We saw his first homer a couple weeks back against Kansas City. That was an opposite field blast. He has more opposite field power than I was aware of, to be honest. And I was reading into it. There's an article about with him and Judge, and Judge kind of went to him during batting practice praising that, yo, you got power to all fields. Like, pretty much saying to McMahon, you know, obviously being a supportive teammate, but the way Judge was talking about him, it actually kind of sounded like he thinks McMahon can be a pretty decent hitter. And on the topic of that, I have not had this confirmed. So many comments on the Yanks AF post yesterday, and I saw a couple of the tea leaves as well. Nothing official. Let me know if you guys have heard this, but apparently Judge's or McMahon might be working with Judge hitting-wise. What I had heard through this person on Instagram is that McMahon is working with Judge's hitting coach now. I don't know if that's true. I would love to know if that's true. That would be freaking awesome. But whatever it is, it's working that he's doing. Again, 14 for 46 in his last 17 games, 877 OPS. And he later added an opposite field single. All this has brought his batting average up to 216 on the season. And the OPS at 637. I mean, you like to think with, you know, him hitting lately, it's going to keep going up. But whether it be the last 17 games or just thinking about an OPS number he could possibly get to, like maybe at some point it goes above 700, which you would like to think it does. Could McMahon get to being a league average bat? All of a sudden, those conversations are back in play. And, you know, he's been getting more consistent playing time against right-handed pitching, where the Yankees very early on, and this was something to celebrate their urgency along with many other things, they were playing Rosario against not just lefties but righties. Well, since the series actually in Texas last week where the Yankees faced three straight righties, McMahon's been playing a lot more. And again, as we've been mentioning, he's looked a lot better at the plate. And knowing what his defense is, obviously, which, you know, has been actually a little bit shaky this year so far, but I'm not worried about it. McMahon, like, the foundation is there for him essentially to be, you know, a four-war player is very much within reach. If he can just hit, not just a little bit, but if he can be possibly an above-league average hitter, you know, if there's a time to have this conversation for the first time in a while, it's now. What is the upside of Ryan McMahon? Well, we're kind of seeing it right now. And 17 games, that's not nothing, chat. That's not nothing. And an 877 OPS in those seven games. And again, let me know if you have any inside information or have heard anything about McMahon possibly working with Judge's hitting coach. Somebody commented yesterday like it was fact set in stone. And maybe it is. I just haven't heard about that. And normally I wouldn't want to come on here and, you know, put a rumor out into the air. But like I kind of need to know for myself, chat. So if you have any inside info, please do let me know. Anyways, McMahon, that was one of my favorite home runs of the season so far. Two-run shot in the third to tie it up against DeGrom. And, you know, DeGrom would go down to settle in for a few more innings after that. A couple scoreless. But then come the, what was it, the fifth inning or the sixth inning? We're all knotted up. We'll talk to Elmer in a minute. But, you know, he bared down, settled in as well. And with that, you got a 3-3 game until Mr. Jazz Chisholm Jr. broke that up.
Miners and we'd be in hotel rooms. And that one's driven deep to right field. McCutcheon back, looking up. See ya. A long home run for Chisholm. And the Yankees lead.
It is getting warmer out, chat. It is indeed getting warmer. And that's what Jazz said. He doesn't like playing in cold weather, which is true. We knew that. We did know that, and so far he's certainly starting to pick it up a little bit. Has had some tough luck as of late, but he does have a 908 OPS in his last 12 games with four homers. So Jazz breaks up the tie with an absolute bomb, by the way. That ball would have went to the second deck, but it was just to the left and ended up going into the bleachers. But that was a very majestic-looking swing. When Jazz connects and he hits the ball, it looks pretty. But yeah, home run number four for Jazz. Again, 908 OPS over his last 12 games, so he's trending up. McMahon is trending up. Many other guys are trending up as well, Cody Bellinger being one of them. And he would later add some big insurance, which, you know, at the time we knew was big insurance, but felt even more so with the run the Rangers did score in the ninth inning. Bellinger, against the reliever, lefty, but these runs were tagged or charged to DeGrom, two-run double, which Bellinger now has 10 doubles on the season. And, you know, interesting part about this is not just the fact that the Yankees ultimately tagged DeGrom for six runs, but classic case of Judge being intentionally walked ahead of Bellinger. Classic mistake, as we've learned over the last year or so. Bellinger's been, I mean, in general, pretty terrific with runners in scoring position, but that is something that has come back to haunt teams ever since he became a Yankee last year. when you walk Judge, Bellinger often comes through. And Bellinger's come through all season long. Again, 10 doubles on the season. And also has 26 RBIs as well. Bellinger's been really good. Been really, really good. And as we've discussed, he's not just hitting against lefties. That production remains very strong. Also hitting against righties. Last year was more so a little bit lopsided, where the OPS against lefties, because he always hits good against them, but it was above one dot last year. That's awesome. You look at the right-handed, the OPS versus right-handed pitching, it was more so like mid to low 700s. Well, this year it's balanced out a lot more, which is very nice, and it's leading to him having a better year than he did last year, which was great in its own right. But, you know, obviously you face more righties than you do lefties, so if you can have a decent OPS against righties and maybe a little less against lefties, that's going to pan out to a better season. And so far, his numbers are looking really good. OPS in the high 800s, and the on-base percentage. Bellinger's just been terrific. I love Cody Bellinger. He's a ball player. He's a great Yankee. And, you know, he plays a big role in this team, obviously. And one of those roles has, yeah, seemingly become the, for some reason, still ongoing theme of, I don't want to say on, like, still for some reason, because, you know, Judge is Judge. I get it. I do get it. And, yeah, I probably would want to take my chances with Bellinger over Judge. It's not really a Bellinger disrespect. Anyways, constantly, though, we see Judge get intentionally walked, and Bellinger comes through and takes care of business anyways. So shout out to him. And yeah, final line on DeGrom, 6 3/7 innings, 7 hits, 6 earned runs, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. And as you see on the tagline there, they raised DeGrom's season ERA from what entered the game at a 2.01 ERA. They inflated it by a run to 3.11. And DeGrom, I was listening to Rico Brogdon last night with Evan Roberts. I love Evan Roberts. And obviously I'm not a Mets fan, but, you know, few and far between these days, there's like actual podcasts, especially in terms of sports talk radio, that actually just full-on talk sports. And that's why I love Evan Roberts so much. I listen to him, you know, to get his thoughts on the Mets, but I just like hearing him talk baseball. Anyways, one thing he was saying, which I kind of pushed back on a little bit, he's like, DeGrom is good, but he's no longer great. I disagree with that. He may not be elite Hall of Fame level, you know, caliber pitcher in lifetime like he was at the Mets. Like, that I'm sure was a different, you know, pitcher. And obviously he's had Tommy John. I saw him last week, as we all did, and like, DeGrom is still very much an elite starting pitcher. He, even last night, I mean, some of the pitches he was throwing, the fastball hit 99, the changeup looked incredible. I mean, he just looked like a great pitcher, but the Yankees got to him for that, those 6 earned runs. And again, it was kind of a thing where down 3-0 going into the first, I don't want to say I was excited. I was more so just, I was excited outside the fact of, like, I don't know what Elmer's going to be. Like, is Elmer going to keep giving up all these runs? And, you know, let's just mention him really quick. He settled down very nicely, very nicely. Goes on to throw 3 scoreless innings after that first inning. Looked a lot better as well. And I think a big thing with Elmer is certainly just, you know, nerves, which I can certainly understand. And let's go through the rest of the housekeeping here on yesterday's game, because there's more stuff to, you know, celebrate, but also have some final thoughts on it as well. But Elmer, in the end, you know, we always do letter grades for the watch parties, for pitchers' final lines. And we ended up giving him like a solid C+, because that showed guts yesterday. And that's something that, you know, out of concern of Mike Francesa possibly listening and, you know, blowing up, it reminds me of kind of, you know, remember the old freak out he had back in like 2009 when Jabba Chamberlain gave up 4 runs against Boston in the first, but then he looked really good after and people were celebrating and Francesa just went off. The clip's on YouTube. It's a classic. Anyways, for a terrible first inning, yesterday's start actually ended up being pretty impressive by Elmer and gives me a lot of optimism about him going forward in into his career. And no matter what, you know, we had some people, which later retracted their comments, but like calling Elmer a bum in the chat in the watch party after the first. And it's like, nah, he's not a bum. I still like Elmer a lot. He's just not pitching well. And yeah, maybe he's not ready for the big leagues just yet. And that still may remain to be the case. But if there were any concern about like Elmer's poise and ability to, you know, handle the stage on a big league mound, the fact that he settled in just in general was awesome. But also, you know, the Yankees get on the board right away in the first. It's important to get a scoreless second inning right after that. And then the Yankees with the McMahon homer tied up at 3. And for a couple innings, Elmer traded zeros with DeGrom. Does get into a little bit of trouble in the 5th inning, though. And that's why we have to shout out Brent Hedrick, which we've been doing a little bit as of late. Yesterday or Monday's show, we talked about how the Yankee bullpen is a weakness. And it's certainly the one part of the team that really more so because of the depth is not World Series caliber. But there's been some bright spots. And one of those bright spots is absolutely Brent Hedrick. He comes in yesterday with the bases loaded and just makes quick work of the pinch hitter Sam Haggerty. He ends up going an inning and a third, scoreless, 3 strikeouts, and now has a 1.47 ERA in 19 games this season. By the way, those 19 games is tied for the most in the majors, appearances-wise. But yeah, a 1.47 ERA now, over 18 and third innings pitched for Brent Hedrick. And then the Yankees posted, it's on the screen right here, that's a pretty good stat, by the way. The Yankee bullpen yesterday stranded each of their 8 inherited runners. yesterday. Second time in the expansion era, which is since 1961, that their bullpen has done that. And by the way, I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but you know who was in the house last night? Mo. Mo was taking the ball game last night in the Yankee bullpen. Ultimately did a really good job. It was clunky here and there, but more on Hedrick. The Yankees put this stat out last night, and this is the best compliment you can give to a reliever. Not even compliment, more so recognition of something great they're doing. Brent Hedrick. We mentioned the ERA. It's been great. We mentioned the appearance. Like, he's been consistently relied upon. No reason to make that more rightfully so than this. He has inherited 13 runners this season, and he has stranded every single one of them. That is, you can't do a better job than a reliever, as a reliever, than that. I mean, that is essentially exactly what you're being paid to do, which is, you know, generally speaking, bail a team out of a jam. Ensure the team's going to get to the next inning scoreless, whatever it may be. Get your way to a win. And Brent Hedrick has done that more than anybody in the Yankee bullpen so far. And that stat of 13 inherited runners this season for Brent Hedrick, stranding all of them. I mean, that is fantastic. And relievers, it's weird to get, not weird, but like tough to get overly excited about, you know, the come up of a certain guy. Because Brent Hedrick or anybody that has, you know, a breakout year as a reliever, there's a world where, whether it be next year, end of this year, 2 or 3 years down the road, like relievers are very flip-floppy. You know, I'm not a football guy, but I like the comparison. They're very similar to running backs, where like 1 year they could be great, and then you don't know what they're going to be a couple years down the road. But for right now, Brent Hedrick has turned into a legitimate weapon for this Yankee bullpen. And again, going back to what we talked about the other day with like the weakness, which is clear, the depth more so. We talked about this a lot. Shout out Randy Wilkins, who really brought this to my attention. It's so accurate. The Yankees do not need to be carrying two long men in the bullpen. And, you know, we saw Ryan Yarbrough warm up for a minute yesterday. Nothing against Yarbrough. He doesn't need to be on this roster. And Paul Blackburn is the other, you know, long-ish reliever, and he's actually been pretty decent himself. Ryan Yarbrough is not needed. Now, well, you know, we have some roster stuff to discuss in a little bit, but shout out Brent Hedrick. He's been terrific. The rest of the Yankee bullpen went on a combination of Tim Hill, Fernando Cruz, David Bednar went on to get the job done, some big outs from all those guys as well, including a 5-out save from Bednar, which, you know, they end up having a run allowed in the 9th inning. Honestly, it's slipping my mind how exactly that transpired. I forget what it looked like with Bednar, forgive me. But I do want to say, for all the shit Bednar's been given, which I understand, I mean, it's been, you know, since Mo, or not even since Mo, but, I guess, like, since Chapman, we've had, like, PTSD with Yankee closers, and I guess that's because of Mo. But, you know, it gets stressful at times with him. But in the end, Bednar has 10 saves now. He's 10 for 11. And the one bone save he had was in Tampa Bay for the extra inning game. So not really going to hold that against him. We don't got to get into the whole trade deadline conversation. But we've talked about the idea of, listen, I'm not against the Yankees picking up a closer at the deadline, which has nothing to do with Bednar. But it's like, no matter what, you got to make this bullpen deeper. You got to make it better. You got to make it. It can be such a nice singular focus going into the deadline because it's really, again, the one true area the Yankees are weak in. This, you got to go to town in the bullpen. If that involves, you know, if a closer, like, we keep going back to the example, Yoan Duran with Philly, if he's available, you know, I'm down to pick him up. Well, pick him up. It'd be a big deal. You're not just going to, you know, grab him in aisle six, but you make a trade for Yoan Duran. Like, he's your closer. All right, work. But no matter what, Bednar's going to play a big role on this team in this bullpen. And he's honestly been pretty decent. So shout out to David Bednar. Shout out to the Yankee bullpen. The mainstays that we've seen, Hedrick obviously being one of them, but, you know, Tim Hill's been great. Cruz, for the most part, outside continued issue with command, has been great. And then, yeah, David Bednar. This bullpen, again, is not helpless. That's the best way I really feel like to put it here. But anyways, so yeah, Yanks bullpen looks good. And they're in like towards the top of the rankings in baseball in a bullpen ERA, by the way. Anyways, the big story yesterday is, yeah, tagging DeGrom for 6 earned runs, which was, you know, whether it just be the excitement of a comeback, which, you know, I know we came back early, but down 3-0 against DeGrom before he even throws a pitch. And they end up right away getting on the board. And then McMahon, who's been, as we mentioned, hitting the ball legitimately really well lately. You tie it up. And then, you know, you're going back and forth a little bit. Your young pitcher in Elmer, who was just brutal in the first inning. That was one of the worst first innings I've seen in a long time, honestly. He goes on to settle in and give the team a chance to win. The bullpen does its job. The defense continues to look good. I mean, the big thing is the fact that they scored 6 against Jacob DeGrom. And they've now 2 starts. This is not insignificant. I mean, 2 starts against Jacob DeGrom, which, sure, he's not Mets DeGrom anymore, but he's pretty damn good. The Yankees have managed a victory against DeGrom and a good Rangers bullpen now twice in the last week. One via working counts, getting him out after 6 innings, and then outdueling him with our own starting pitcher in Cam Schlittler, tacking on some insurance against the bullpen. And then yesterday, well, there are times where he was shutting us down for a couple innings. In the end, you tag him for 6 earned runs. we're always thinking about the postseason here. And I can't help but take this and use it as another reason as to why, really more so last week's than this, because like the Yankees offense, like we know they can do this any pitcher on any given day. But it gets you excited about the postseason because, you know, what's a common thing that is discussed, which goes way back to like when I first started watching Yankee baseball in 2011 was my first year, which I feel like everybody knows by now. I always keep saying it, but it's an important line of demarcation. I always got to acknowledge because I'm a zero-time World Series champion. It's devastating. I can't count on nine. But anyways, Yankees can't hit in the postseason. Yankees can't hit good pitching, which, you know, to a degree has been true. That's true also for majority of teams. That's what makes a pitcher good. But, you know, just seeing what they do against DeGrom last night, the way they managed the game last week to earn a victory against him and the Rangers as well, it's pretty exciting. And it furthers the narrative that this team is better suited come the postseason. And again, I keep talking about last week's start, but I liked it even more because it's like, all right, yeah, sure, like the Yankees didn't manage much against DeGrom last week, only the one run. But in the meantime, our starting pitcher outdueled them. And then today, in the rare case where, you know, not ideal to be down 3-0, but normally be like, all right, bad start in the first inning, our pitcher will probably, you know, figure it out, which Elmer ended up doing. But at the time, you know, Elmer's really the one guy I'm unsure about. I don't know if this is going to stay just, you know, a 3-0 deficit, a 3-1 deficit, it may continue to get worse. That was more so the concern. Otherwise, it was, like, Elmer's side, going into the bottom of the first, and we're all kind of, not all, but, like, many of us in the chat were on this vibe during the watch party. It's kind of like, yo, let's see what this team's got. It was almost exciting in a way. I compared it to Dragon Ball Z yesterday. It's like Goku when he's facing, a really tough battle. It's like our sand blood in us, Chad. Like, it was just exciting. Like, I would trust this team. And it ended up being a very professional day of work for the Yankees. They improved to 25-11, first place. They remain in the American League East, best record in the AL. And again, if the Braves could just lose a game, Chad, we'd have the best record in baseball. But they did indeed win last night yet again. But anyways, so let's move on to some other stuff here, Chad. I think that pretty much covers everything from the game. Actually, no, it does not. Some other game notes really quick. Yeah, I got a few more things here, and then we'll move on. We got a bunch more to discuss, by the way. We're going to talk a little bit of Volpe, not much, but he actually had a decent day at AAA yesterday. Rodon is going to be activated coming up. We'll touch on that in just a moment. But also, from yesterday's game, can't ignore this. I can't believe I almost skipped over this. Paul Goldschmidt, 2-for-4 yesterday with a solo shot against a lefty. Believe it or not, actually just his second hit against a lefty. He's been better against righties. But, you know, limited playing time, I actually feel, to a degree, kind of not bad for Goldschmidt, but I just really hope, you know, I would like to think he's on the roster the entire season. It's kind of tough, like, versatility-wise and positionally. But, you know, I talked about this actually on an episode coming out of Talking Yanks coming out today, which will be at some point out this morning or this afternoon. Anyways, how, you know, Rice, thank goodness he wasn't hurt. But, you know, you see him come out the other day, and it's Paul Goldschmidt that comes in as, like, the reserve. Like, he comes in to take over at first base when Rice left the game the other day. And it's like, nobody wants Ben Rice out and Goldschmidt in. But if that's your option to fill in with via an injury when, you know, things like that happen, Paul Goldschmidt's not a bad backup option. Anyways, he goes 2-for-4 yesterday, second home run. His OPS is now up to 748 on the season in limited time, but that's obviously an above-league average bat. And, you know, he continues to look good. And, yeah, two hits yesterday. Shout out to Paul Goldschmidt. Some other notes, as we mentioned, Bellinger, 2-for-3 with 3 RBIs. 10 doubles, 26 RBIs total on the season. A couple other notes, the Yankees' rotation has allowed 3 earned runs or fewer. 3 earned runs or fewer in 32 of the 36 starts this season, which matches the second most in franchise history through their first 36 games of the season. So, we know the rotation is great, but, you know, kind of puts stats to the eye test. 1 second, chat. Hydration. All right, let's move on to some other stuff. So, let's see what we got here. Want to acknowledge this, that Anthony Volpe, first game official at AAA, where, you know, obviously he's played some time there rehab-wise, but first game since being optioned, he goes 2-for-4 in his AAA post-optioning debut with this double right here, which was, actually I'm kind of seeing the whole thing live for the first time. Nice double off the right field wall. That ball was pretty well hit. Anyways, are we going to be monitoring, you know, every single game Volpe has at AAA? Yes, probably. I think that actually is full on my intention. Yes, it's a fun storyline. We'll see how he does. And off to a good start, 2-for-4 with the double yesterday at AAA. Speaking also of AAA, Spencer Jones. He continues to rake. 11th home run of the year last night, a 3-run shot. 40 RBIs now at AAA in whatever, like 30 games or whatever. Yeah, that's an insane number. And this is what Spencer does. It's like, you know about the strikeout rate, which right now in the season sits at a 32% clip. Granted, over the last few weeks, it's sub 30%, which is very significant because, you know, if you can get to under 30% in AAA, like, all right, maybe there's some hope that you won't be striking out 40% of the time at the big league level. But, you know, as long as he's over 30%, you know, down in the minors, like, that's not a good sign of things to come, at least, like, translating what he could be to the MLB, Rare I make that mistake. Not a big deal if you do that, by the way. I'm not trying to be, like, one of those fans. It's like, oh, it's MLB. Although I think I've done that every single time I've heard somebody call it the MLB. So I'm a hypocrite yet. Anyways, his stats are so good. So good. In 261, OBP of 368, 600 slugging percentage, a 968 OPS at AAA. And he just constantly kind of wows you to where you can't, like, forget about him. Not that any of us want to forget about him. But the K rate legitimately is a problem, guys. Like, it's not a world where if Spencer Jones is striking out over 30% of the time at AAA, which, again, the last few weeks he's cut that down. But I'm just saying, like, who he is in a given moment, if he's a 30% plus K rate at AAA, that's not an option really to call up to the big league level for the most part. So that needs to be improved. And he has been improving in the last few weeks. But in the end, this is pretty insane. Like a 968 OPS at AAA. This is our first round pick from, what was it, 2022, whatever it was. Like, the K rate is, it always makes the conversation with him tough. But at this point now, it's like he is such, obviously, like, raw power. He's very athletic, plays center field. You know, Grisham's a free agent at year's end, and let's just assume for a second, like, the Yankees don't bring him back. Unless there's a trade offer that comes up, but it seems like a lot of teams aren't all that high on Spencer externally, so, like, I don't think he would even want to trade him. You might as well just, I feel like, let him play AAA throughout the year. If there's a situation that, you know, calls for him to be brought up, all right, word. But maybe just, yeah, let him ride out. He's been so great to where I can be like, all right, he at least is an athletic defensive center fielder if it ever works out in the big league level. I mean, he would be box office. He's got the look. Let's just kind of maybe bank on him being the everyday center fielder next year. You know, not this year, but next year. Now, obviously, if, like, he continues to lower the K rate and just continues to look this good, if there's an opportunity this year at the big league level, I ain't going to rule it out. And I'm sure maybe we will see, like, you know, a cup of tea for him at the big league level at some point this year. He is on the 40 man, but yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of just like, all right, Spencer, if you want to be the everyday center fielder next year, like, keep doing this, and, like, we'll kind of just see what the K rate's going to look like at the big league level. But come then, long ways away, I would like to think the Yankees would have, like, a nice backup option in case that doesn't work out next year. But nonetheless, Spencer Jones, he continues to rake at AAA. 40 RBIs. 40 RBIs, that's pretty insane. All righty. So let's discuss the, man, I can't believe I actually skipped over this. This was a mistake order-wise. But Elmer Rodriguez optioned after last night's start. And Carlos Rodon, that means he's officially set to return. He did struggle at AAA last night. I mean, to be honest, who really cares? He wasn't good. He gave up, I think, 6 earned runs at AAA, got hit around a little bit. His prior start at AA was great. I know it's tough to have to do this, but you really, with rehab starts, you got to put that stuff aside. All that matters is, like, we don't know if what he was working on. We don't know if it was, you know, him throwing, like, sometimes pitchers throw only changeups in a rehab start. That's not what happened with Rodon last night, but you can't really look at the results. The main thing is that he got through it healthy, and indeed, it sounds like he did. Elmer Rodriguez optioned after his start last night, so indeed, at least for a minute, that'll be one of his last start in the current turn rotation. And it looks like Rodon will return during this upcoming road trip. I guess it would mean Sunday in Milwaukee, you'll see the return of Rodon. And again, all that matters with the rehab start is that, you know, he's all good, healthy, no setbacks. So assuming that is the case, you figure, given Elmer being gone now down to AAA, we know Rodon will make his next start in the Yankee rotation. Next start will be at the Yankees. Probably Sunday against Milwaukee, if I had to guess. In fact, now that Elmer was sent down, barring, like, a spot start from somebody, it would indeed be Sunday against Milwaukee. So don't forget how good Carlos Rodon is, man. Last year, he truly was great. 18-game winner, ERA just barely over 3. WHIP was just barely over 1. Opponent batting average against was terrific. Far and away the best year he had as a Yankee. And remember, down the stretch, you know, he had the bad start against Toronto, but, like, the dude literally couldn't straighten out his elbow. And that's why he had to get surgery. It was so bad. But he kept on pitching, made a full 33 starts. Rodon was brilliant last year for the overall body work. And, you know, same with Cole. Be a little bit patient, you know, especially with Cole coming off of TJ. But, like, even Rodon, anybody coming off the IL, like, the first start or two, you know, may not be great. We'll see. But in the end, the Yankees rotation obviously gets better with the return of Rodon. And that's going to come, it seems like, this weekend, this upcoming road trip. So I'm looking forward to that. In the meantime, you know, the Yankees sent down Elmer, but Rodon won't be activated until, you know, the day of his start. In the meantime, expect the Yankees to call up a reliever of some sorts. And then, you know, come Sunday or whatever he does pitch, Rodon, they'll activate him then. Alrighty. So Tonight, Yankees continue the three-game series against the Rangers. Tonight is a Prime game, 7-5 Eastern. It's your first pitch on Prime. It'll be Will Warren, who's been, as we know, terrific so far this year, 4-0, 2.39 ERA versus Nathan Eovaldi, who was terrific against us last week in Texas. Seven shutout innings and, you know, some game notes. We don't know yet. It's 8:37 in the morning. We don't know if Ben Rice will be in the starting lineup. He did say yesterday that he was going to try swinging. His hand had been getting, you know, he got some treatment on the hand and he was feeling better. We'll see. As of right now, he's TBD for the lineup tonight. If, you know, he's not in there, it's not the end of the world. Ideally, you know, he is, but obviously you don't want to rush him. You don't want to rush him. So we'll see what the plan is there tonight. Lineup should be out, you know, usually 3 or 4 hours before first pitch, probably around 3 o'clock tonight, or this afternoon rather. But yeah, Warren versus Eovaldi. We'll see what the Yankees muster up against Eovaldi tonight. Because, yeah, again, last week he was absolutely terrific. You know, I was saying it going into the watch party, or at during the watch party, someone was like, damn, we can't hit off this 5 ERA bum. I'm like, yo, you must not know who Nathan Eovaldi is, because you knew going into last week's start, not that the Yankees wouldn't hit him, but he at the very least is not a 5 ERA pitcher. Nathan Eovaldi is, he's one of the most respected starters in baseball. He's really good. And not that we need him, but I've always been down for a reunion at some point. But yeah, we don't need him, but I like Nathan Eovaldi a lot. I like Nathan Eovaldi a lot. Anyways, Warren versus Eovaldi tonight in game two, Yankees versus Rangers on Prime. And yeah, you know, it's obviously been a really good season so far, but the more and more we go on, like, more storylines continue to emerge. And this continues with the whole thing of whether it's last year, this year, talking about running it back, how nothing is guaranteed, things are going to change, players can improve. Well, right now, Ryan McMahon is improving. You know, we saw it with Caballero, the first 2 weeks for him weren't good. And then he's since been doing really well. McMahon, first 2 weeks were brutal. Since then, doing really well. Same with Jazz. And now all of a sudden, think about it, the bottom third of the order, which was a big talking point early on with, you know, I mean, I guess Wells still isn't hitting, but, you know, Jazz, Caballero, and McMahon were a big, you know, part of the issues early on offensively, because the bottom of the order in general wasn't doing much offensively at all. Well, all three of those guys have been hitting. Caballero, we've talked about at great length. We know what he's been doing over the last few weeks. And now McMahon, yeah, last 17 games in 304, OPS near 900. He's legitimately looking good at the plate. And we've been talking about the at-bats looking better. Now we're getting results. And Jazz at the homer yesterday, and he's had a good last 12 or so games, while also enduring some pretty bad luck. He had a ball against DeGrom last week in Arlington that I thought was getting out, and he smoked it, ended up being caught at the wall. You know, a lot of hard-hit balls for Jazz that haven't, you know, fallen his way, but he's still hitting the ball lately. And we know everything about the defense with this team. That remained strong last night. So, I mean, you know, there's going to be countless examples of times where this team excites you, gets you optimistic. There's going to be also times where, you know, we start losing some games. And we got to make sure, you know, we handle that without freaking out. But last night was another just like so many cherries just being thrown on top of this beautiful Sunday that is the 2026 season. And last night's case, it was 6 earned runs against DeGrom. And just like a well-earned professional victory for the Yankees. And that gives them their 5th straight win. Also, you see in the bottom ticker there, the Yankees will begin wearing a patch for John Sterling on May 18th. In the meantime, they'll still wear their JS hats that they've been wearing with, you know, his initials on the back of the cap. But we are indeed John Sterling patch. That will be coming May 18th. And yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any other news that I've been missing out on. By the way, I don't know what the hell happened with Framber Valdez last night, but all I'm going to say is I'm looking forward to doing baseball today, this morning, because I know Rose cooked up a juicy question. They're going to go in on that. And for those who don't know, baseball today, which is, in a way, like, heavily this show is inspired by, you know, we're 5 days a week now and all that, but that's a show I produce for John Boy Media, a half now for many years, with Chris Rose and Trevor Plouffe. It's every day, just like this show, but it's more baseball-focused. And it is a different format and layout, but that's also how I consume, like, the general news in baseball. It's like, I would be watching baseball today as a podcast if I wasn't producing it, but I just get to do it early, chat, and I get to build the show, which is one thing I love doing, by the way. Like, whether it be with this show, now that we're at the very end of the show, I'm going to be honest with you, chat, like, we're all homies here, and we got through it all. I wouldn't open by saying this, but just being transparent with you guys, I'm a sleepy son of a gun this morning. Holy crap. I was up to like 3 a.m. last night, which I love. It always feels like a great idea at the time. You guys know I had so much coffee yesterday. But I was up to like, anyways, the thing is, like, I love being up late after the game, prepping the show, getting all my headlines ready, everything. Like, I love everything to do with that. Same with baseball today. I love building up the show. And I'm excited to do this one, because Framber Valdez last night, it seemed like he continued to, add some fuel to the fire about his perception of baseball, which is that he's a punk. Yankees don't have the best record in baseball. The Braves do, for now. But they do have the best record in the American League. Things are going really, really well lately. Obviously, follow on Yankees Ave, follow at Yankees Ave on Instagram, Facebook. We'll be live again tomorrow morning with another episode of the Morning Yank Show. Live at 8 a.m. We're now 5 days a week. We'll also be live tonight, game two against Texas. And, I think that might be all I got, Chad. I'm trying to see if I forgot anything here. Let me see. And I'm going to check Yankees Ave to see if there's any news that I missed out on. I think we pretty much covered everything. Yeah, we talked about Ben Rice. He's TBD tonight. Stanton, he hasn't started running yet. Yanks are, taking it very slow with him. He has began hitting, as we've mentioned. But, Jason looks just fine anyways. So, all right. I think that'll do it for this episode of the Morning Yankee Show. Finishing right around, 36 minutes long. I think that's probably where we'll sit with these shows now that we're 5 days a week. I'm not against going longer. But, when we're doing it every single day, some of it, especially coming off a game like last night, we'll be very, focused on, game recap, whatever it may be. So, we're probably going to be in this window, 35 to 40 minutes, but not against going, an hour at times, especially like a Monday show or like a big story. But I don't know. Let me know what you think about the show. Time slot, we're live at 8 a.m. Obviously, you can watch on replay. You got, the times, the 35 to 40 minutes. Does that make sense? Whatever you feel about the show, any ideas or suggestions, please do let me know. Anyways, in the meantime, I will be getting out of here. Let's go, Yanks. I'll see you guys tonight for game two, Yankees-Rangers, Evaldi versus Warren. And have a great Wednesday, yo. We're halfway through the week. And chat, either have a great day, and if you don't, just get through it, and then we'll watch Yankee baseball later, and all will be okay. All will be okay. Love you all. See you tomorrow. Or see you tonight. But for this show, I'll see you tomorrow. Let's go, Yanks.